Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis with your hosts,
Ashley
and Tracy. Pull up a chair for your seat at the table as we talk about sleeping disorders. So we had a poll about a week or two ago, and the consensus was, the request was, is that we focus on sleeping disorders this week.
That must be a very big issue for people. I know it is for me.
Yeah. Not so much, but it does affect me, you know, for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is because it's warming up here. Mm-hmm. And so it's not as cool in my house.
I have to sleep cool. Yeah.
So I think that's, you know, a big part of it. But, you know, sleeping disorders are caused from so many different reasons. You know, it could be menopause, aging, you know, general overall health, you know, psychosocial factors, lifestyle changes, hormonal shifts, physical changes, life circumstances, decreasing estrogen and
progesterone.
Thank you. Levels.
Help you out there.
And you know, weakening circadian rhythms, which I believe I have now. We'll get into that a little bit more later. But basically, it's just postmenopause and how your body changes, and part of that is so the circadian rhythms are basically your 24-hour rhythms.
Oh.
And so I think as you get older, as you progress in menopause, then it affects that as well, your 24-hour, you know, cycle. So
much to look forward to.
So much. But why does menopause affect sleep? You know, I was doing some research for this topic in this episode and found that approximately 61% of women experience sleep problems during menopause.
Wow, that's a high number.
That's a very high number. So I was looking at the Sleep Foundation, and it's the sleepfoundation.org. And why does menopause affect sleep? So there's, you know, your body produces increasingly less estrogen and progesterone, and hormones involved in the reproductive cycle. All of that is changing.
Right.
Thermoregulation, you know, mood, metabolism, all of these things, you know, and circadian rhythms, as we talked about, affect how you sleep.
Right.
And this is 100% different than just night sweats.
Oh.
Which we'll get into more. We're gonna have to have a whole episode on its own about, you know, hot flashes and night sweats and stuff like that.
But
so they had a lot of great information on, you know, sleeping disorders and, you know, how it's tied into menopause and improving sleep and, you know, basically how to do both, managing menopause and improving sleep. Optimizing your sleep environment is one, which we just talked about, making sure your bedroom is cool, dark, and quiet, you know, running a fan or keeping a glass of water nearby.
Yeah. We have a, it's not a humidifier. I guess it's like a filtration device that we run. And I have terrible allergies. So, and you can probably all hear that now, as stuffy as I am right now. But, and so it really helps with, you know, filtering the air. But just the sound we have found is so soothing for us. It's like a white noise. So now when we go stay somewhere, whether it be a family member's house or a hotel, we have to pull up white noise on like YouTube or something.
Oh, that's funny.
Because we've grown so accustomed to that sound and we can't sleep without it now.
Right.
So even something like that, some people like to hear rainfall, thunderstorms, you know,
music,
a stream,
flutes,
ocean, you know, whatever it might be. But we have found that that's become something that we rely on to help us sleep. And if it's too quiet, we can't.
Interesting. So, very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And managing stress, of course, but that's, you know, a whole different subject on its own. But committing to a healthy diet, avoiding alcohol, caffeine, and tobacco, you know, it interferes with your sleep and intensifies hot flashes.
Right.
You exercise regularly, you know, trying cognitive behavioral therapy, those types of things, will help improve your sleep. But all of those things, I believe, are, I feel like in menopause, when we talk about menopause, you seem to have the same things coming up over and over again, you know, diet and exercise and all of these kinds of things, in order to help with all of your menopausal or perimenopausal symptoms. So I think, you know, over and above that, that, and clearly, I think it's important that we'll just kind of disclaim it right now. Some of the sleep disorders that you may be suffering from or mental health conditions that are, you know, correlating with menopause require treatment by a medical professional. So if you suspect that you have, you know, something a little bit more serious, sleep, or even sleep apnea, you know, depression, anxiety, any of those types of things, that it is important to talk to your doctor about it.
When I was kind of looking into it before we did the episode, I was actually really surprised at how many different disorders there are, sleep disorders there are. And obviously there's a plethora of things that contribute to that. A lot of it was health. But whether it be physical or mental, but yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's not something that you can really self-diagnose. You need to talk to a professional and explain to them what you're going through, all of your symptoms, whether you think it's sleep related or not.
But again, we found this sleepfoundation.org, but they also have what they call a sleep foundation score. Or profile. So, and both of us did it. And they'll give you a score at the end. They ask about 25, 28 questions or so, and then they give you a score, and then they give you suggestions based upon that score and the answers to all these questions on, you know, resources to help alleviate it. And both of us at the same time, it was kind of funny, knew that we both needed new mattresses. And so that's something that I've been thinking about for quite some time, about getting a new mattress. But they're expensive. If you get a good one, they're very expensive.
I've just not been wanting to drop the dough.
Me either.
I think it's time because it's gotten bad.
And my mattress definitely needs to be replaced. It's over its expiration date, and plus it just needs to be replaced.
And I think too, you know, we were talking about how old our mattresses were, and mine's not terribly old. I think we determined it was 6 to 8 years, which is getting, you know, right there about the time to replace it. But I also think that 6 or 8 years ago, my body was very different. You know, I'm almost 46 now. I've gone through a lot of changes, you know, physically, internally, everything. And I'm just finding that some things that used to be comfortable for me are just not anymore. So where this mattress used to be a great fit for me, I have found in the last couple of years that it's not as comfortable. And it honestly, it's in great condition, but I think I just need something maybe a little softer than I used to. I used to be able to handle
more firm,
a little more firm. And now I mentioned sometimes I don't want to keep Paige up, so I'll go to the guest room and it has a much softer mattress and I just sleep like a baby. So I think my, you know, you, as you age, your body needs different things. So,
and for me too, outside of a mattress, the pillow is also very important for me. And I was on a quest a few years ago. I found this pillow and it was amazing. And I think I got it at Ross or something. So, but I kept going back and continued to shop until I found more like it. And so now I have probably 3 or 4 good sleeping pillows. But I think that's very important. And I noticed for me, a lot of it, like I would wake up and have a stiff neck or something along those lines. So not only to help sleep better, but, you know, to avoid having, you know, a sore neck or anything like that. So I think a pillow is also, you know, important.
And a good pillow also helps with breathing Yes. People don't realize that, but if your pillow is too flat or too big, or again, obviously you can have issues with your neck and being stiff or achy, but if you're at the right elevation, it also helps with breathing, which is big for me with my sinus issues. Right. So,
and for me, because I'm a noisy sleeper and I snore, I do it all. I snore, I grind my teeth, I talk in my sleep.
Oh, gosh.
And they also have a lot of apps out there now.
Uh-huh.
And I had downloaded one with the free trial for whatever it was, XYZ number of days, and I would use it every night and it would record you as you sleep. And
so, creepy.
And it would identify everything, you
Did
know,
you
like
hear yourself talking.
Yes.
No.
Not so much talking, but at least nothing auditable that I could recognize, but a lot of just noise and snoring and different things. It was actually pretty interesting. And they also have sleep apps that create the white noise that you were talking about as well.
Yes.
And some of them, I think, do both. Like, it'll record you as you sleep, and it also gives you, you know, different sounds to help you fall asleep.
Yeah, there's an app. I haven't used it for a while, but I used to use it frequently. It's called Calm.
Yes. And yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it has a lot of things like that, as well as, you know, meditation and things like that. Spa music.
Which I think, you know, meditation and a lot of things that we've already talked about. Again, I feel like a lot of it seems to be repetitive when we're talking about menopause.
It's all about putting yourself in the right mindset, though.
Right.
You know, so where these things, you know, provide, you know, any kind of thing that you need during the day, whether, you know, you're stressed out or you just need to calm down or... it's the same thing when you're going to sleep. You need to be in the right mindset.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. And they say that your habits, there's a lot of things that you can do to prepare yourself, you know, for a good night's sleep. And part of that, like I said, is, you know, preparing yourself for bed and all those types of things. But healthy sleep habits, which for us, the first one for daily wellness, it's something that we don't really have to strive for here in Arizona, but get at least 30 minutes of exposure to daylight.
Yeah, in some parts of the country, that's challenging.
I was going to say, for us, it's not a big deal, and it's hard not to get that.
Mm-hmm.
But for others in different parts of the country and different parts of the world, they may not have, you know, 359 days of, you know, sunshine every day.
They do have those lights you can buy now, like sunset lamps and things like that. And I've heard that they actually have helped people.
Yeah.
So that's something to consider if you don't have a lot of sunlight exposure.
Right. And then the routine we were just talking about, you know, going to bed and waking up at the same time every day. Limit naps to 20 minutes in the early afternoon.
I'm not a napper.
I'm a napper on the weekends, and 20 minutes just doesn't cut it for me. But it's never, you know, bothered me being able to go back to sleep again. So, and of course, boost your diet with the fruits, vegetables, and whole grains, you know, and keeping your mind, calming your mind with deep breathing and visualizations and stuff like that will help with your sleep routine as well. They do recommend getting at least 7 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, I'm about a 7 hour sleeper.
Me too. Me too.
I'm good with seven.
6 to 8, I think, is my sweet spot. But, and again, to follow the same pre-bed routine each night is critical. Reduce stress with calming activities, which could be the music that we talked about, meditating, reading.
I was going to say, I know a lot of people read before they go to sleep because it makes them tired.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to note, I wouldn't recommend reading on your phone or a tablet or
no
Kindle.
Screens.
Yeah, no screens.
I like a good old-fashioned book anyway, myself.
Yes, the hardcover. Something about turning a page, right?
I love it.
And using your bed only for sleep and sex, which pretty much I do.
Yeah, I use it to fold my laundry, too. But.
Okay.
That's it.
I think you're good. And this was interesting. Get out of bed if you can't sleep after 20 minutes.
Okay. My therapist recently told me that.
Yes.
And I never thought that that was good.
Ditto. Same here.
Because my challenge is not falling asleep. It's staying asleep. I find myself, you know, we, for the most part, go to bed pretty early.
Your business needs AI solutions that are not only ambitious, but also practical and adaptable. That's where Domo's AI and data products platform comes in. With Domo, you can channel AI and data into innovative uses that deliver measurable impact. Secure AI agents connect, prepare, and automate your data workflows, helping you gain insights, receive alerts, and act with ease through guided apps tailored to your role. Domo is built to meet the challenges of today's AI landscape with a robust, all-in-one platform powered by trust, flexibility, and years of expertise in data and AI innovation. Data is hard. Domo is easy. Learn how Domo can help you unlock your data's full potential at ai.domo.com. That's ai.domo.com.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Right. We're usually in bed around 9, 9:30.
Yeah.
And I would say by about 10, we're going to sleep.
Yeah.
We usually watch a show, which I'm finding I probably need to stop doing. I think that's part of my
problem. I have
the
TV on as well.
Yeah.
I have a timer and turn it on.
And I can't fall asleep with it on. I always turn it off before I go to sleep. But I'm finding myself waking up at like 2 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And I would just lay there till 4 or 5 in the morning and be like, I'm going to go back to sleep. I'm going to go back to sleep. And I would never really fall back asleep. So I'm talking to my therapist about this and she says, you need to get up. And I'm like, but isn't that bad? Because then you're up.
Right. No.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
It's funny. It's not. And the other night, oh, it was probably within the last week or so, I was having trouble falling asleep, which is kind of unusual for me. Mm-hmm. Often I'll wake up in the middle of the night, but generally I'm able to get back to sleep. But this particular time, I couldn't get back to sleep. And something that I've always known, which is, you know, it's proven, never look at the clock. Right.
Yeah.
To see what time it is, because then you start counting. Well, I only have 4 hours left.
It just creates just more stress for yourself.
Yeah. But I just felt like that whole night, and then finally, I think I got up before the alarm. It doesn't matter with the alarm, but I felt like I had a twilight sleep. Like I didn't feel like I ever fell asleep. And I will have that occasionally.
Okay.
Not enough to really bother me. And so while I was laying there, knowing that I wasn't really sleeping, thinking, well, your work day tomorrow isn't too stressful, you're going to be fine. Like, don't stress out over it. But it's not easier said than done, right? And set your phone to silent.
Yes,
which
I do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there it is. Don't check the time.
Yeah.
And reduce or block out noise in the room where you're sleeping. Keep the bedroom dark, which we both just talked about. You've got the blackout curtains.
Yeah,
I have blackout shades. Love it. And set your bedroom temperature. They're saying that 65 to 78 degrees Fahrenheit for those in other countries.
I was going to say that sounds kind of cold.
Chilly.
Yeah. Well, I don't keep
and the funny thing is, maybe even in the winter, I don't think my house gets that cold.
Yeah.
It probably would if my youngest didn't still live there, but she can't. She likes to be a little bit warmer.
Yeah.
But in the summer, there's no way
it would cost us a fortune to try and do that.
I can't do that. But I think it's important if you're able to keep it between that 65 to 68 or whatever the sweet spot is.
Yeah.
So that it's not warmer.
Right.
It's just, you know, better for your sleeping. And we already talked about mattresses and aromatherapy is actually something too. Lavender has often been, you know, known and associated with relaxation and sleep. So that might be something. And again, we talked about choosing a good pillow. And bedroom ventilation is also something that's, you know, good.
So and my air purifier is good.
Yeah, your air purifier is wonderful. And then there's, of course, the alcohol and caffeine use. You want to cut that down. They recommend not to stop drinking coffee after 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was funny, and I don't associate it with caffeine at all, but chocolate.
Oh, that's true.
Chocolate.
Oh, yeah, chocolate does have caffeine
in
it. I know.
I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And that's a hidden source. So you want to look for hidden sources of caffeine that you're, you know, because I don't drink coffee, but I drink soda.
Yeah.
And I drink soda right till I go to bed.
Oh,
and
wow.
The funny thing is, sometimes I'm laying in bed, but I do have the TV on. I use a sleep timer. But for me, my mind races so much that it's hard to fall asleep. So when I turn the TV on, you know, I'll close my eyes and I'll just focus on listening to something like friends or something that's not, you know, no drama, nothing, you know, that would start my heart to race or anything like that. But, but that's what I need to sleep. But I use a timer, so then it goes off, you know, within whatever. I usually set it for like 30 minutes or what have you, but that's how I generally fall asleep. But I'm laying there and I'm like, oh, I'm thirsty. Should I get up? Should I not get up? And 9 times out of 10, I will get up. I will chug soda. And I have the worst habit in the world. I keep mini chocolate chips.
Oh, my gosh.
Semi-sweet chocolate chips in the refrigerator. So I will grab a handful of my chocolate chips and eat them and wash it down with soda. And
yet
so
you're
clearly
still sleeping well.
But I still end up sleeping well. But I sometimes I will take an aid to help me sleep. I'm going to be 100% transparent here.
Yeah.
But that doesn't keep me up. But it's funny, when I was going through all this research, I was laughing at myself. I'm like, I'm doing everything wrong, but I still do wake up in the middle of the night, more so now than I did when I was younger.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and of course, reducing nicotine intake before bed. So for those who smoke, it's, you know, maybe changing your habits so that you don't just have a cigarette before you go to bed.
Right.
But yeah, those are a lot of things that you can do to help change your habits, which ultimately will help, you know, you sleep a little bit better at night. So,
yeah, I mean, like I said, I think my issue is that I can't stay asleep through the night.
Yeah.
And I think one thing, like I said, obviously I need the new mattress. I scored a 50, by the way, everybody.
On your sleep test?
It was terrible.
Mine was 61. Mine was 61.
I understand 100 is the best, so I'm like half, not quite getting enough sleep. So,
I think only people that are sleeping get 100.
Yeah, exactly. My fiance, of course, scored 75 or 76 or something.
Right.
She sleeps like a baby.
Right.
But yeah, I think getting a new mattress and then just getting up rather than trying to
then
not look at the
turning.
Clock.
And yeah.
Yeah. I don't always look at the clock. I can usually tell what time it is because it's always the same time, you know? But yeah, I think maybe getting up will probably help me.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they say when you do get up, you don't want to
do something relaxing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Maybe reading or, you know, mild things, but and then go back to bed, which brings us back to, you know, what we were talking about before. And I think a lot of us have that problem. It may be you don't have a problem falling asleep, but then once you do fall asleep, you wake up several times. I know that I'm uncomfortable, and so I'm tossing and turning a lot more than I ever used to.
Yes, me too.
My head used to hit the pillow, and I would wake up almost in the same position. And now I find myself, you know, several times a night.
I think that's where the mattress
position
will probably help.
Yeah, I think
and,
so.
And, you know, also doing some kind of stretch. You know, stretching before you go to bed is
really
beneficial.
Stretching is really good.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you find yourself when you wake up, they say don't lay there more than 20 minutes. So to
get up and stretch.
So get up and stretch.
Right.
Yeah. And maybe do some journaling or, you know, anything that, you know, feels relaxing to you, because I think it's kind of based upon each individual person.
Yeah. Absolutely.
There's not one thing that, you know.
Yeah. It's unlike you, I can't watch a sitcom.
Right.
I don't like, we'll usually put something on like a documentary, you know, something pretty bland.
Right.
That we don't get too interested in.
Yeah.
Although there have been a couple of times where we did and that was not good, but, but we try to find something that we know will kind of bore us and we don't watch the whole thing. But Paige is a lot like you and she likes to listen to sitcoms.
Yeah.
And a lot of sitcoms have laugh tracks.
Yes.
And I can't do it. I can't sleep through that. So she's funny because she'll, once I turn that TV off, she'll turn her sitcom on her phone, and it's so low that I can't even hear it.
Right.
But she has it right next to her ear, and she sleeps like a baby right there listening to her sitcom.
Yeah. And I do. And I know that you don't like the laugh tracks.
I think it's nostalgic for a lot of people. Yeah. It just gives them comfort. Yeah. And, you know. Yeah. But for me, it's I just find it annoying when I'm trying to sleep.
So here are 5 ways to sleep better tonight or to fall asleep faster. 1, we talked about it, turn down the thermostat. Again, you know, it's recommended to be, you know, 65 to 68 degrees in the room that you're sleeping in.
Whatever you can tolerate.
Whatever you can tolerate, yeah. Or, you know, whatever your AC will tolerate if right. you live in a warmer climate like we do. And 2, get rid of your phone. So this is interesting. The blue light delays the production of melatonin.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
So I was reading at sleepfoundation.org about melatonin, and it's interesting that it has a lot to do with your body temperature and your body clock. And as the day progresses, your body temperature heats up.
Oh, yes.
Till around 10, 9 or 10, and I think it's based upon your sleep clock, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But 9 or 10 at night, and then it's like it tells your body that it's time for bed, and it starts to release the melatonin.
Wow.
But I thought it was just interesting. I've always known that, you know, being on your screens right before mm-hmm. you go to sleep isn't good, but I didn't really know why.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But yeah, so scientifically, the blue light delays the production of melatonin. And again, we've already talked about this. 3, don't look at a clock. Take them out of your room if you have a standalone mm-hmm. alarm clock. I don't think a lot of people do these days.
I mean, most people sleep with their phone next to their bed,
they
though.
Do. So and most people why, and use it as an alarm.
Yeah,
exactly.
So that's really tough.
But
just be conscious of it and try conscious. Not to
don't
look at the time.
Don't look at the time. And I've known that for years.
When you get up, if you do wake up in the middle of the night and you do get up,
right.
don't get on your phone.
Right. Don't get on your phone.
That's defeating the whole purpose.
And try not to look at a clock. Don't worry about what time it is.
Yeah.
Just, you know, move around. And like you said, stretching I think is really good. Because I always thought that your body relaxed at night, mm-hmm. and it wasn't until I had my back injury years ago, I would wake up and I would be really stiff and not even able to stand up straight, and I was so shocked by that, because I thought, oh my gosh, I just rested, you know, for 6-8 hours, so what's wrong with me? And the doctors were like, no, Tracy, your body doesn't rest at night. As much as you think it does, it doesn't rest at night. Yeah.
Wow.
I thought that was interesting. So here's another one. 4, embracing biophasic sleep. So this is when you're breaking your sleep into 2 segments instead of all at once. Mm. So this is if you wake up and can't go back to sleep, and they're saying, you know, give it about 20 minutes, give or take, you don't know because you're not looking at your clock. but then you get up and do some light stretching or breathing exercises or light reading and then go back to bed. But so don't get anxious, you know.
Put pressure on yourself.
Exactly.
Okay.
If you can't, you know, if it's not a continuous sleep cycle,
yeah.
I don't think that it matters. And then 5, which I thought was kind of cute, but sleepy word game. Play a sleepy word game. You know, so think of a letter and think of all the things that start with that letter, like B, you know, baby. And you can even think of, you know, the visual of a baby.
So I guess it's kind of like counting sheep.
Exactly. And that's what I was just going to say. But I've actually kind of tried to do that before.
Yeah,
when I've had those times, it's like 1, 2. But
99 bottles of beer on the
Yes. Anything that just keeps you going, and then you kind of wind it down. But, you know, and then you go on to another letter. But those are 5 ways that you can try tonight if you're, you know, having problems with sleep to see if they help. But the Sleep Foundation also offers a 14 Nights to Better Sleep program, and it's based upon your sleep profile.
Oh, that's nice.
So again, if you go online to thesleepfoundation.org, we took this little, it took 10 minutes?
Quick. Yeah,
pretty quick. a little assessment, and they just ask you, like I said, about 25, 28 questions. But they also offer this 14 nights to better sleep program. And over those 2 weeks, they'll cover whatever, you know, you need to know about improving your sleep habits. And this is all based upon the intel that you give them.
Right.
And I'm sure it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
But it's about improving your sleep habits over time. So you'll receive 4 daily challenges intended to help you adapt a healthy bedtime routine, get enough sleep, and wake up feeling refreshed each morning.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also did a little bit of research about maybe some natural supplements that will also help. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's melatonin that you can take and different things.
Some people will pop an edible before they go to sleep.
a lot of people do. I'm actually, you know, in that category myself. But I did find a product, and it's called Equille, E-Q-U-E-L-L-E. And it has a natural Essequal menopause supplement.
Oh.
So it will help you, and it's highly rated. It has like a 4.2 rating. But it helps not only with sleeping disorders, mm-hmm. but other menopause symptoms.
Oh, that's great.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's a little spendy, but mm-hmm. I think if it honestly helps for multiple symptoms.
And, you know, sleep is priceless.
And that just about wraps it up for today. Thank you for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. Embrace the change.
Join the conversation on our website at letstalkmidlifecrisis.com or our Facebook or Instagram and YouTube channels. We'd love to hear from you guys.